I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are? Negative thoughts come to mind.
All right, another day, another dollar. Another one of my favorite episodes of my favorite podcast. What if it did work? Of course I'm biased. It's my own podcast. And I got to say, this is the three-time champ. Only person to be on three times. The man, the myth, the legend. One of the guys that I admire, one of the guys that I promote as often as I can. Brother, and you know, 2024, you'll be on for the fourth time for the fourth season. Tyler Guzzo, brother, how's it going, man?
It feels good to be back. This is a three-peat. Omar Medrano having me back again. I feel like the luckiest man in the world, and I appreciate you having me back on. And we need to catch up. We need to go over some things and talk. And
definitely, dude. Dude, this is the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, 2024, New Year, new me, all that bullshit, you know, because we're going to have to motivate the people. Well, between you and I, those that have New Year's resolutions, never listen to my show, don't follow you anyways. But yeah, you're going to be the first episode of 2024, man, because, you know, it's a new year, new you.
I was just thinking that we did something like this last year, talking about almost the same exact thing about the new year and all the people that have these New Year's resolutions that unfortunately never do come true. Because if you have New Year's resolutions, and that means that you're trying to start up something new, I think if anything, someone like you who works out three times a day, it's kind of hard to make a new resolution. Like, you're just living the life.
Well, dude, it's like, man, if I'm addicted to heroin, I hope somebody friggin' does an intervention and they're not like, well, you know, he's got a few more weeks. He's got a couple of months. Let's wait till 2024 because that's the new Omar. No, man, that's the biggest farce.
Yeah, is that a pressing issue for you? If you're someone who has a goal and you want to, you know, get in shape, be healthy, etc., is it a good idea to go through the holidays and just say, you know what, I'll start in January? Actually, it's the exact opposite. You're going to make things worse. You're going to pour gasoline on the fire over the next 2 months.
Well, dude, they're power eating through friggin'
power Halloween. Eating. I like that.
Power eating through Thanksgiving, power eating through Hanukkah, through Christmas, through the office parties and the friends parties, and New Year's Eve rolls around, and hopefully it's not on the week. Hopefully it's not like on a Thursday because you're going to take the weekend off because you got to start on a Monday.
Of course. It's always got to be a Monday. And I think that's the biggest problem that I see with people who have New Year's resolutions is the fact that it's the Monday crew. I'm going to start when everything is perfect. And before this, I had to listen to some David Goggins because I was going to be chatting with Omar Medrano. And so I think it's so funny because he talks about going out when the conditions are the worst possible and challenging yourself. And you know, you follow Andy Frisella as well. He talks about test days. And it's kind of like the complete different mindset from somebody who actually achieves what they want and someone who constantly is feeling down and not able to achieve it. One person who isn't able to achieve it is constantly looking for the Red Sea to part. It's going to be a clear pathway. It's going to be perfect. I'm going to feel great. Grandma's not going to be sick. The kids aren't going to be sick. There's going to be no snow on the road. Whereas the other person says, I would love for that to happen. But I know that in reality, one of those, you know, a couple of things that I just named off are going to be my way. And if they're all my way, then that just means I got to push even harder. And some of the really sick individuals like yourself, they hope for those things to happen and say, yes, I'm happy that the day is completely going against me so I can fight against this and pass the test of the day, right?
Oh, dude, to me, it's a test, man. I mean, when somebody craps on me, somebody gives me bad news, there's a pothole. That just means it's time to elevate, man. It's time to, it's not either, you know, commit and excel, press forward, never go in reverse. Well, sometimes you have to take a step back, but that's it. Keep going forward, man. And there's always going to be bad news, man. There's always, why wait for, you know, and then there's the waiters. I'm going to wait for the new Mediterranean diet or the new book or the new, the new drug, the new pill. No, man, we all know it's common sense. You can follow, you know, if calories, dude, calories are evil. Carbs have never been evil,
right?
You know, fat's never been evil. I mean, that's been proven. You're a little younger than me, but man, the no fat diet, people were like power eating through Snackwells and everything that said, you know, fat free, you know, like calories didn't count, you know, let's eat three boxes. Oh my gosh. Why did I gain weight?
It said fat free. Why am I gaining fat? That doesn't make any sense. You lied to me. These marketers lied to me. And it's funny because, you know, you need fat in most of these recipes. So it's like, what are they putting in there to make up for the fat?
Exactly.
I want to know what's going on with that. But you're so right. The waiting, the procrastinating, the pushing off, the waiting for a perfect moment. Some of the best people that are in my program, you know, we have a one-on-one program. We have people from all, you know, most individuals who are the most successful in the one-on-one program. They lose fat, they gain their energy back, they feel good, they feel confident. We just did an interview in our private group yesterday. And the woman, her name is Tracy. She's amazing. And I think it's always, I'm picking up a theme here as I've done more of these like interviews inside of our community, is that the people that do the best, I always start their intro with, this woman is a mom of two. She runs a business. She's traveling. She's doing X, Y, and Z. And she's lost 40 pounds in 19 weeks. She's lost 30 pounds in the last 16 weeks. Like the most amazing success stories are people who have all that going on. And it's like, it's just that mindset, right? They have all that going on, but there's no excuse. And I think at the end of the day, if you're constantly going to be waiting for the next year, I'm telling you what, like you said, I'm a couple of days younger than you, but at the end of the day, I when I got to 30, I was like, wow, I'm like 10 years has gone by since I was 20. I remember my like being 20 years old, like yesterday, and it made me realize how fast time goes by. And the longer you wait to do something, I mean, nothing's going to change. There's not going to be a light bulb moment where everything's perfect and you're just this new person. Every day you're just chopping wood and trying to get better and better and better. And then after you look back of 30 days of doing something right, after 60 days of following a program, after 90 days of doing a workout, you're like, okay, wow, I actually have some proof that I'm a little bit different than I was 90 days ago, 60 days ago, 30 days ago. And you can build up that confidence. And I think the pattern that I was talking about with those other individuals is they're used to running on all five gears. They're used to pushing themselves to the limit. And so adding in a fitness program is no different. It's just maybe they forgot that part along with all their other things they got going on in their life, you know?
Well dude, there's two things. One, if you make it a must, you'll find the time. And two, all these people are successful because they're tired of being sick and tired. Tired of not being able to walk upstairs. Tired and saying, you know what? This shit's got to stop. I have to start now. You know, like they need this win, like they need their next breath of air. You and I, we go on vacation. Dude, in my 20s, 30s, I would never work out. Man, I'm in Vegas. I go to Vegas and you know, nice gyms, and there's nobody at the gym. You go all over the place. Every hotel has, and you know what? It's a cop out. Well, it's not a nice gym, or I don't have the time. Man, if you're gonna, especially we're all gonna power eat. We're all going to be partaking. We're all going to be drinking up a storm.
Right.
Then work out, man. How hard is it to take out 1 hour out of a 24-hour day to commit to doing something, to work out? Pack. You're going to pack for that weekend vacation like you're going out for a month anyway. So pack a pair of sneakers and pack some workout clothes and go for it.
Yeah, fun fact, I was actually just reading an article put out by the American Heart Association. And not only that, like you're going to lose weight, you're going to feel good, you're able to eat a little bit more on vacation and not feel so guilty. But just working out, the minimum that they recommend, 75 to 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise. Weightlifting, calisthenics are included in that. So in the reason why they recommend that is because studies that they've looked at show that you can reduce your risk for any sort of heart disease. We're talking stroke, we're talking heart attack, by 21 to 23% just by working out three times a week. I mean, 75 minutes, that's not even that much. That's the minimum. 75 minutes to 50 minutes or 150 minutes. You break that in three. That's a pretty simple program to even add years onto your life, let alone the mindset, let alone how you're going to look, let alone how you're going to feel. Like you want to live. I've always said this. I really don't care about the years. I care about what happens in the years, like what's going on in those years. If you're constantly on dialysis for the last 20 years of your life, you're not feeling great about those 20 years. You're exactly. Probably wishing that you were just not there anymore because it's so miserable, right?
No, dude. You know, a lot of times people want to have that aha moment, which, well, usually that aha moment is like when the doctor's like, you know, you're dying, or you're getting ready to die unless you change that. Or, yeah, you know, a million years ago when I was in a fraternity, we had our national convention in Baltimore. I remember this story vividly.
Fraternity, you know, days. I got to hear this.
And a bunch of us went to Hooters, you know, fine dining establishment.
Great establishment.
Yeah,
great
out in summer, perfect weather.
Breasts and thighs.
And patio furniture. And this guy, he wasn't in the fraternity. He looked like he was 35, early 40s. Looked like he could be a contestant on The Biggest Loser. Sat down on the patio furniture, and it just collapsed on him. And granted, you know, this is the 90s. There's no PC police. There's no woke. There's no. So what do you think happens? A room full of guys, young alpha male fraternity guys. Everybody started to laugh at him. Now, you know what? I bet you right now that pain caused that guy to be like, man, I need to lose weight.
It's fact.
Because, you know, pain, man, pain's a great motivator. Dude, if that was me, I'd be so embarrassed. I wouldn't be like, well, you know, maybe the furniture was flimsy. The patio furniture wasn't flimsy, brother. You are.
Yeah. Yeah. You're telling me that Hooters doesn't make the best and most durable patio furniture? Come on, guy. We all know that Hooters is a fine dining establishment. They make the finest furniture. No,
exactly.
I mean, that, and that's the problem with now and today, and is that you can't be critical of anybody or even offer some constructive criticism because of how people are going to feel or what they might say about you. And everyone's got a ton of feelings, and, you know, and again, that situation right there, that guy is probably running marathons right now because he embarrassed himself.
Right? Oh yes. But that was then. Now, he'd sue, you know, it'd be front page news. It would be on Fox, both CNN and Fox. He class action lawsuit. He would get a bunch of fat people to sue. Everybody would see him as a hero. People would reinforce that negative behavior that got him to 300 plus pounds and go, hey, buddy, you are a hero. You are a role model. This should never happen. And that's why, you know, it's this victim mindset that, you know, oh, poor me, you know, life isn't fair. Yeah, life isn't fair, dude. But yeah, that's why comparing then to now, you know, and then the fraternity on a national scale would be shunned for having young 18 to 22 year old guys laughing at this poor unsuspecting victim.
You guys would have been kicked out of the university. I dealt with something similar to that. And I think I've told you this story in the past. I was overweight as a kid. And I had what we call in the scientific realm, moobs, man boobs as a child. And so I guess you call them tubes, but I was overweight and I was like in third grade and I was at my friend's swimming party. It was at a hotel and we're in the lobby of the hotel swimming area. And on the bottom floor, there were like little rooms, like the back of each room on the first floor. And so you could go out there and you could basically hang out. It was like your patio area. And there was these high school kids who were sitting out there. They looked like they were up to no good. They were probably, some of them were probably in your fraternity. I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, these guys, and it was actually a girl that walked up to me. And I'm sitting there waiting for my buddies. And I was probably in third grade at the time. Had my shirt off, had the towel over my shoulders. Overweight kid just standing there. And I'm like, what is this girl doing? Like walking up to me. And they're all looking at me. And I have no idea who these kids are. I'm this little short kid, big pop bottle glasses, this big cowlick. I was prime time to be laughed at. And unfortunately, and it was a bad experience, but the girl walks up to me. She's getting closer and closer and closer. She comes up to me, flicks my nipple. She flicks my little man boob. And it was the boob shake that was heard around the freaking globe because like time stopped. And I like my face turned bright red. The kid just bursted laughing. And it wasn't as accidental as the guy who fell through the Hooters patio furniture, but it was embarrassing. It wasn't cool. It was cruel what happened. But at the end of the day, those kinds of moments, I mean, I wanted to cry. I wanted to just leave. I wanted to like self explode. But what ended up happening is I'm a trainer now. I help people lose weight. I help people lose fat. I help people get in shape and get their health back because of moments and other moments just like that when I was in school, of course. At the end of the day, the thing is that those moments are definitely not what you want to have happen, right? But when you have reality kind of put you in check that way and almost put a mirror in front of you in a not so nice way, but still puts the mirror in front of you and shows you, okay, this is my reality is I'm overweight and these kids thought it'd be cool to pick on me or do this little joke on me. And it definitely hurt. It was challenging. But when I was deciding what to do with my life, I thought, how can I help people? What can I do to help other people? And I just recall how bad I felt in that moment. And I recall how bad I felt when I was going through physical therapy and had my knee surgeries and all these different things. I felt hopeless and I didn't know what to do. And so being able to help people just like myself in that way has been very motivating thinking back on that tough time that happened. So you got to use those moments to harness the energy, because when you're going for your goals, and that's the other side of it, is when you do decide to actually step forward and make your goals happen, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But as you overcome those hurdles, as you overcome different obstacles, man, you become sharp. You become a whole different person. And people that you used to know, that used to hang out with you, the boys that used to go to pizza night with you, the boys that used to go and drink all the beers with you, they don't even recognize you because you're a different kind of a person. And, you know, it's a rewarding feeling when you can look back at how far you've come.
But, you know, you're an old soul, dude, because you being a millennial, that could have been the victim moment where to this day, you know, we don't know the Guzzo fitness. We don't know the handsome young buck that you are, but instead, you know, you're still out in Iowa with Kevin Costner and Shula Jackson.
Still punking people with Ashton Kutcher. And, yeah,
exactly. And you know, leading protests and needing safe spaces, but instead you overcame that because you didn't want it to define you. Instead, you used that pain to just push past everything. And you still remember that. You remember that. You remember the story of the candy that, you know, being a fat kid and the kids asked you if you wanted candy and you know, being young. Now you smirk because, you know, a disappointment in life. And you know, you realize people are douches and people are dicks. And you would know that there's sarcasm. You know, you had the innocence of a child. And you're like, yeah, man, where's this candy? And they're like, no, we're fucking with you.
Yeah. You want but some you candy like me?
Yeah, dude.
How'd you know?
We all have that, man. So that's what I'm saying. Your defining moment is no different than the Hooters guy. And yeah, I know for a fact that guy changed his life because in the 90s, something like that happens. And when we weren't morbidly obese, not everybody looked like Lizzo back in the day. I mean, it was rare to see a guy that big.
Yeah, it's insane. You know, things are just getting worse and worse when it comes to people being overweight. And the studies show, and, you know, it's really a bad thing. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, when you're looking at exercising, the moderate exercise that they're talking about is weightlifting or calisthenics. Doing some walking, doing that 75 minutes per week is going to reduce your risk of heart disease by 21 to 23%. And it's going to give you years of your life back just by doing that, let alone the amount of, you know, let's be honest, you gain self-respect when you discipline yourself, when you say, I'm going to do this thing that is not very easy. I'm going to do it. And although I don't want to do it, I'm still doing it. That's where the self-respect and the confidence comes into play. But no, I appreciate you saying that. Some people have called me the salt of the earth. The Stallone of the salt of the earth because I'm Italian. But ultimately, I don't know, man. I remember the days when the internet was first coming out. And ultimately, I think the internet's a great thing. I think the internet has a lot to do with everything that's going on. The fact that, you know, you can get shamed. I've had people, you know, talk shit to me on posts that I made. I've never met these individuals. I have no idea who they are. I've never met them. I have no clue who they are. And I guarantee that, you know, there's a very good chance that they wouldn't have said the things that they said to me in the comment section or whatnot if they saw me in person. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
No, man. Everybody's brave in front of a keyboard. You know, everybody can take a shot. Usually the person that takes a shot is some dipshit living in their parents' basement. Well, clearly not in Florida. In Florida, right. They'd be in their still in their childhood room, you know, wearing their underoos, beating yep. off, watching Pornhub, trying to get significance right. by taking shots at other people. And it's like, congratulations.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so anybody can destroy, man. It's so much harder to create something.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of all that, you know, I was just watching, it was a whole summit. So I saw Gary Vee talk at the summit as well. And he talks about how there's certain people that just go around the internet waiting to be triggered, waiting to say something negative. And the further you step out, the further you step out of that comfort zone. And if anybody is listening to this who's an entrepreneur, the more content you make, the more followers you get, the higher chance and likelihood that's going to happen. You can look at some of the most famous individuals. Look at Patrick Bet David. Look at some of those people that are really well known on the internet, make tons of content. And you can go through the comments and see 50 great comments. But the one comment that's negative, we focus on that. And so I think it's important to also not focus so much on the negative. If you really want to, it's a great way to harness some energy. But don't let that ruin your day, because there's 50 other comments of people that think that what you just said really helped them. Or there might be someone down the road a year from now or 2 years from now that say, wow, you really changed my life. And I've had countless people on my testimonials when we do our one-on-one program. They'll come on and we'll do a testimonial at the end talking about how much weight they lost, fitting in their clothes, more energy, running half marathons, et cetera. And the thing that really gets me and the thing that keeps me motivated when I do see those negative comments is remembering what people have said during those testimonials, remembering them say, hey, you changed my life. This program has changed my life. These people, these friends, these connections I made have changed my life. And so if you focus on the positive that you're doing, those negative and those haters, they're going to be there. It's inevitable if you want to grow. It's going to be there. You can count on that. But again, that is another obstacle that you can overcome as you grow and grow and grow. If you're an entrepreneur or you're someone who's an influencer, or you're just putting out content to the world, sharing your journey with fitness or whatever it is that you're doing, it's going to happen. So just expect it and learn to deal with it. But ultimately, I know that this audience is a lot of individuals, and I got my Facebook or my Instagram live going over here at @guzzlefitness_. No shame in that plug. Feel free to hit the follow button. Individuals that are in my program, individuals that I've helped or worked with and been able to work closely with for a couple of years now. And if I would have just said, you know what, because the one negative comment, because that girl who flicked my nipple when I was a little kid and I was overweight and, you know, this, that, the other, or those kids at the lunchroom who asked me if I wanted candy and they obviously weren't serious. They were just making a joke because I was overweight and they thought it'd be funny to ask me that. You know, if I would have stopped then, the impact that I have, that the small impact that I have, because there's going to be much greater impact in the future. But right now, with the impact that we've been able to have, that wouldn't even have even happened, like you mentioned, Omar, earlier, that if I would have stopped then, there would be no Guzzo Fitness, there'd be no trainer, there'd be no, you know, workouts on the beach with tons of people coming out, right? That wouldn't even be possible. And so for you, you have to make a decision. If you're going to start a business, if you're going to start being an influencer, if you're going to start public speaking, if you're going to start changing your health and things like that, are you going to let people that are really insignificant in your life, haters, people that you don't even know on the internet, or people that you might have known and they said negative things to you or made fun of you or whatnot, are you going to let those people stop you from achieving your goal? Furthermore, think about yourself on your deathbed. I'll never forget, I started to work at a nursing home when I started my physical therapy career, and seeing individuals who are at the end of their line, seeing pictures on the wall, seeing military careers, travels, wives, things like that. And these people are sitting on their deathbed, more or less, or they're in heaven's waiting room if you're at the nursing home in Iowa, anywhere really, but definitely at this place that I was at, they were. And I remember thinking, man, this is like one of the best experiences of my life right now. I was like 24 at the time. I said, this is unbelievable. I'm literally getting a glimpse of what it's like to be at the end of the road. And I could tell there's certain people that were just bitter, just angry, just upset. And you just got the feeling that they did not get out of life what they really thought they were going to get. And there's other individuals who were like super friendly, cool, nice. It was almost like they were just living the life at this small nursing home in the middle of Oakland, Iowa. This is not Oakland, California. This is Oakland, Iowa. It's a town of about 5,000 people. And it's amazing. Actually, maybe 500 people. But at the end of the day, you could just tell that those individuals, you looked at their wall and you see all their travels. You see them, you know, one guy specifically, he had a boxing career. His name is Frank, had a boxing career. He was in the military. He had pictures of all these different people and, you know, women that he had been with over the years, right? He had lived that full life. He was happy. And there was other individuals who weren't. So you have to ask yourself, are you going to stop living the life that you want? Are you not going to go for what you want for a couple of people that are insignificant? Or number two, you know them, they're haters. Maybe they're your sister, your brother, your friend from high school. And they're talking crap because you're wanting to put yourself out there in social, build a business, build a following, et cetera. You're going to let that person that you probably don't even like anymore, that you probably don't care about what they're doing anymore, stop you from living your life. And then you're sitting there in your nursing home or on your deathbed thinking, man, Susan or Bobby or whoever stopped me from having a great life. And guess what? It's too late. You can't do anything about it now.
Well, something tells me those that were having a better mindset, they probably weren't reading their comments, or if they did, they really didn't care. Also, though, remember, you know, Shoeless Joe Jackson said it best, man, when it came to Iowa, is this heaven? And, you know, Ray Kinsella had to tell him, no, man, this is Iowa.
This is Iowa. You're close. You're on your way.
Dude, why would you? Man, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know there was people telling me why, you know, write a book, or who am I to do this, or why do a TED talk, or why do this, why do that? Who cares, man? That's either you're with me or you're against me, and that's fine, man. I don't care. You know, if somebody wants to take a shot in social media, go ahead. I leave it on, you know, as long as they're not downloading porn, which they've been doing, you know.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. Well, I'm curious then, because at the end of the day, you know, there's a phrase that you constantly say, and if anyone's listening to this podcast, what if it did work? Did that come from a situation where you were on the fence about trying something or doing something?
Well, dude, man, everything has always been against the odds. I remember my mom disappointed in me because, you know, I was leaving my illustrious journalism career of making $20,000 a year to do something else, whether it was to be a financial advisor or to be to entrepreneur. I remember her boyfriend, who's no longer with us, he asked me if I was going to be a soda jerk, you know, when I said I was going to own the smoothie franchise. I'll give them a plug, Smoothie King, because I'm evolved. I know they'll never give me a plug or promote me. But yeah, man, was I a soda jerk? No, I was an entrepreneur. And you know, you can't let people dictate. You can't let people bring you down, man. This is your life. Life goes by fast. I wasn't thinking one day I was going to be 50, you know, but here I am at 50. So, you know, live every day. We all have a choice, and we're all one. I know for certain we're all going to die. Are you going to be the miserable person sitting there in hospice, you know, full of regret, full of anger, or full of hate, or the person that's like, hey, you know what? I lived a full life. You know, I wish I had more time, but you know, life isn't fair. It's time for me to meet Jesus, Dios, God, Allah, Xenu, whoever you believe in, you know, Mohammed. Joseph Smith, whatever you believe in, you know, the universe, Mother Nature, be that content person.
I love that. Well, you're a lot more up on the religious figures than I am. I didn't recognize half those names, but I do know who Dios is, being here in Miami. I've known Dios. I've heard of Dios many times. Ay Dios mijo, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we say that. we say that a lot. And for the non-believers, Jesus is Jesus, not the guy that does the landscaping or fixes your car, but Jesus. Hey, your plumber.
That's great. Well, I wanted to ask. We were talking. Do you care to talk about your what, you know, where you're at now, what you're doing? And
for sure, man, whatever you want. I'm an open book, man. If you want to interview me on my own show, go ahead, dude. What questions do you have?
So where are you at these days? What are you doing, Omar? What do you got going on now?
What I have going on now, this Saturday is my TEDx talk. I have to fly away to Houston. So, you know, it was on my bucket list. I get to do that. I've been unemployed for a couple of weeks now, and I start my new journey. I actually gave you as a reference again, but I guess they never called after the 3-hour interview that I got. I guess I'm hired, so I'm going on board to being a business consultant again for someone.
Okay, well, congratulations, my friend. Congratulations, that's outstanding. And the TED Talk, are you going to put this on Instagram? Are you going to put this on YouTube?
They do it automatically on YouTube, but it takes a while for production or whatnot. It depends on the facility. It can take a week, 2 weeks. But come on, man, you know I'm going to post it all. If I could post it on some of my haters on their wall, the link, I could do that as well.
Hey, well, congratulations. That's a big, big, big accomplishment. I know you've been public speaking for a while now. So the fact that you got that, that's kind of the pinnacle. TEDx is that, that's pretty high up there. I'm not sure if it gets much better than that as far as like speaking engagement. So congratulations to you, man. That's outstanding.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. And, you know, ultimately, is that what you want to focus on then? Is the business consulting and the speaking, or do you want to focus on, is business consulting just something
on right everything now? Dude, I want to have my own clients still, my side hustle. I want to help people out, personal development, business development, write books, public speak, work for someone else. I work for Valuetainment for a minute because of when with your referral, so if they send someone out to put a hit on you, I apologize.
Man, they called me with the interview and they were asking a lot of questions. I said, I don't know what else to say. The guy's great. So
dude, I don't know what their process is because they just got somebody arrested doing a crime rink of over $20 million in retail that was on the news
hired somebody
to be a sales consultant, and he got busted with a bunch of other individuals doing a $20 million retail crimes ring.
Wow.
But yet maybe they need to interview people harder, man.
No, and you what, man? That you can't get away with that here in Florida. In the great state of Florida, we will persecute you for that.
Him and a bunch of others. His bail somewhere like at $400,000. I don't think Pat, Mario, Leo, or any of the other Valuetainment people are pushing for the bond.
Was that, by the way, working at Valuetainment? Did you enjoy it? What was that like over there?
You could be in the same room as Pat. He just won't talk to you, man. I've never had a conversation. If we were in the same room, he probably wouldn't even recognize me. And that was if I was still working there. You know, the reason why I left, I wasn't going to talk about this, but we always do gold is.
Hey, man, I just want to throw it out there. See what you're
talking about. My boss, my two bosses, the most selfish people, man, all about them. I get, you know, you congratulate me. Everybody under the mother has congratulated me on get the TEDx talk. But my two bosses never said, wow, congratulations, nothing. One got in my face and said that nothing that I ever did impressed him. And I didn't realize that was my job to impress him. Yeah. And they're both fanboys of Pat, which is gross. And then my other boss is like, well, you know what? And this was like the sticking point. He's like, you know, I don't follow your social media, but you never post about Pat. Granted, you know, the guy's worth $300 million. Why am I going to, you know, be a fanboy? And I felt like saying, but you don't follow me. How do you know if I do or I don't? Okay. So that was that. And, you know, after 5-6 months, whatever, it was like, you know, on paper, it looked great, but, you know, he's not the same person that's in the book. He's not the same person that's in the videos. And I would say that I would call him out if I guess he would know me only if one day I'm big enough that he would invite me on his podcast.
Right. Right. Yeah, man. Well, that's unfortunate. I gotta say, I don't have I've never had any personal experience with Pat, But I love his content.
Me neither.
Those, yeah.
He told me, excuse me once because I was in front of the water cooler, which was on his way to his office. That, and I think he gave me a fist bump the second time because I was in his way. But that's the, I've never gotten a hello. And my boss that said that, you know, nothing that I've ever did impresses him, which, you know, I lost zero sleep over that. Such a fanboy. He kept on thinking that everybody worked there because they wanted a selfie with Pat. And it's like, what selfie, man? Right. You know, but yeah, that was that. It was a learning thing because, man, I got to work for, you know, I always wanted to work for GC or somebody like Patrick Bet David. So right. Got that. I'm grateful for it wasn't GC, since, you know, I'm fully invested in GC. And if I had the same experience that I had with him, I'd probably be crushed. And right. The only thing that's changed is on my stories and all that, I might throw a little subtle digs and post pictures with me with Grant or my children with Grant. But you know, my kids got a free ticket to 10X a few right. times, and my ex, and I couldn't even get a discount for a vault ticket. If I wanted my kids to go, they'd have to pay full price.
Paying that full price.
Yeah, man, the future is bright.
Yeah, man. Well, I he's running a tough business over there, but I will say, I know that you
have a revolving door, dude. You can get a job there now, man, because they hire and people just walk out the door on the daily there.
Man, that's unfortunate, man. I mean, it sounds like you had a bad experience over there.
Dude. I got to, you know, many individuals, Gen Zs, plenty of Gen Zs that are on top of their game. They don't need safe spaces. You know, great guys, great people. Most people that I love left with me or before me or right after me. So, no, man, everything in life happens for a reason. Dude, I get to say in my bio, I've worked for Jimmy Swaggart, the televangelist before Joel Osteen. I worked for Patrick Bet David. I've met plenty of people. No hard feelings, man. And no hard feelings towards them. Do I throw subtle digs at them? Sure. But they say they don't follow my stuff, but it sure their pictures show up when as people that see my stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, those supervisors, it sounds like they're just trying to get in and cozy up, but you know, Pat puts out some great content.
He does, man. That Pat, the guy that wrote the book, that's an amazing book, Your Next Five Moves. His interviews and all that, amazing. I would tell anybody, follow all the content and all that. But working for him, one, he's not my boss. It's all these other people.
Right.
And they run it like a MLM, really. Let's hire people. Let's see who they can sell tickets to and, you know, stuff like that. And if they go, they go, man. And they keep on telling people they're going to be a $1 trillion business, which is like Apple and Microsoft. But hey, man, if we drink the Kool-Aid and we believe it, you know, I believe I'm going to be Mr. Universe one day too.
You never know. You never know. But I mean, you also got John Maxwell Leadership, right? You worked GC. You got some certification through him. I mean, all
Zig
that
Ziglar, is, man. The Zig yeah. Ziglar.
I mean, you got all that has led you to that point. And even getting into Valuetainment, I'm sure that you put all that on your resume.
Oh, yeah, man. It was. They just never – they thought I would be just the loyal – I'm an entrepreneur, man. I go my own beat. And if somebody wants structure, somebody wants the Jonestown cult, you know, dude, I don't abide by that, man. That's not my personality. I would never be a Heaven's Gator. I wouldn't lop off my balls and think I'm going on Haley's Comet. I would. That's just not me, man. And they're that perfect employee for them. You know, that's not me. And you know, they were shocked that you know I left, no hard feelings. You know, one of my bosses tried to take a shot when I was returning my key. Now the old me, like just 2 years ago, I would have embarrassed him, but I didn't. I was professional, and that's what you do, man. Always take the high road.
Right.
Look at that. I didn't even think we are discussing health, and now we're talking about me, man. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about my limiting beliefs.
We don't got to go into all that. We're here to help the listeners, but I was curious about that just for selfish reasons because we did the business consulting and it was great. I thought it was really good to be on the call. And honestly, being on the business consulting side and hearing about the kind of numbers that people are doing,
completely. Amazing. Yeah. My expectations was something else. I am a business coach. I'm not here to sell masterminds. I'm not here to sell for all that stuff. Why can't I just sell myself?
Right.
Plain and simple. We can pretend we're business coaches, but if we're selling masterminds, we're selling tickets to a conference, I'm not Ticketmaster, man.
Right.
And that's why I left. No hard feelings. But right. It's like who they would want me to be is when Tyler Guzzo is looking to start out his own business, instead of me saying, hey, why don't you do some guerrilla marketing in my stores? It would be instead, hey, Tyler, the business workshop's coming up. Or, hey, Tyler, the Vault Conferences is coming up. And, what a better way for an entrepreneur just to grow your business. It's like, no, man, come on. A business coach to me, I was the only entrepreneur. I'm the only guy that's owned a business, man. If it's something that just because you're good at sales, shit, dude, that's no different. Me asking them for advice on a business is like me asking my priest advice on marriage or my priest advice on having children. Congratulations, guys. You can sell the F out of tickets, out of Zoom calls and all that. But to me, my new stop is to be a business consultant, man. We can all sell. You and I, we can go sell insurance. We can do that, man.
Right.
I'm past that. My mission is to help people. Your mission is to help people. You want to give longevity. You want people to live a healthy, active lifestyle. Right. You compress time because you have to give up eating the ho-hos, the ding-dongs and all that shit.
Yep.
You make them sacrifice. You change their mindset into believing that they're good enough. And you let them do that. I see the people that you have, man. I see.
You're inside the group, man. I gave you the VIP.
I've stepped away from social media a little just because, I think it was a valuetainment. Just, I had to step aside. Yeah, I'll post, some stuff here and there, but I don't even post personal just to get, the bad taste of things out. But yeah, man, I see your stuff, and that's why, dude. And you do a free class every Saturday. You're in service. Anybody can go to your free class. And you're not selling them, man.
Right.
I love GC, but every free webinar, you wind up having to pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Yeah. To me, when you're giving out free information, it's free.
I'll be honest with you on that. I almost feel like maybe that's what I need to do, but I'm still young in the game. And so I feel that when someone comes, and that's when my plight as an entrepreneur is, not feeling, and I've gone through different phases of that myself, where I was afraid to even pitch what I was doing. And then I got amazing results with clients. And I said, what am I afraid about? We're getting results here. And then I was afraid to raise my prices. And I said, what am I doing? I can't serve all these people at the level that I'm charging them. And even you said numerous times, I got to increase my price. And certain things I have, certain things I haven't. But ultimately, I agree with that. I find that, like, just like you said with Pat, and in GC as well, or like even the 10X conference, I loved it. I don't get me wrong, but it was like, every speaker that came up, they were all selling something. It was like I was so I bought into something just to try and get to buy into something else, which I understand. You got to run a business. They're doing much better than I am as far as the business goes. So I think at some point for me on the Saturdays, some people might say I don't pitch it as much as I should. But I also don't want people to feel like, again, I'm just throwing pitches in their face, because then ultimately what ends up happening is I feel like if someone does that to me, I'm just like, you know, I'm kind of turned off. I feel like the value that I was supposed to get out of this one thing, you know, coming to this conference or what have you, isn't really there, or else you wouldn't be pitching me on something else. Like if you really felt that this was going to help me, then why are you pitching me on the next thing? Right. So that's kind of my mindset on the pitches. And I agree. I don't pitch really anything on Saturdays. I might bring it up. I'll say, hey guys, we have weeknight workouts, we have one-on-one programs, etc. But I have more or less just let the posting. I've more or less just let the things that, I post a lot about the results, but I think it is something to be said about, like, just allow people to come to you, let them know what's going on. But if you over pitch somebody, man, it's a turnoff. It's kind of like, you know, I'm not really feeling it, because I just feel like it's less about me getting the result out of the thing that I was already pitched on. It's more about me just getting pitched on something else. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I love the way you do it. Right. It's a good blend. And I've been to three. So, you know, there's early Saturday morning. And South Florida traffic, even Saturday morning, some MF-er to drive all the way down there. And it's a full body. So it's a tough workout, especially with a guy with a torn ACL. It sucks. You know, I would say suck dick, but, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. But it works. And, dude, you do both. And you do it well.
Yep.
Because you're not doing that reach around the old sales approach.
Yeah.
I've never seen you on a Saturday go, hey, guess what? By the way, this is what those people know what you do.
Right.
Those people have friends. Those people have friends that can hire you. That's the way to do it. Don't always chase people like see them only as a checking account. That's the number one thing business gurus, personal development gurus, man, they're insincere. Their actions are not the same as their words.
Right.
Hold up, dude. Just keep on talking. My shitty Tesla, you know, it always breaks down. A guy needs me to pay him for something. So
go ahead, man.
Take charge, dude.
So I guess on that point, you know, if any of you guys are out there starting a business, I'd say the one thing that you should definitely be doing, the one thing that I think is very, very essential to actually having a longevity in business. I know that we talked about some people that are really successful in business, et cetera. And you know, I definitely learned a lot from them. But in my experience, especially in a saturated market like training and fitness and things of that nature, it's important to give people, when you say you're going to give somebody something, you say you're going to give them, you know, they're going to get an outcome out of an event, out of a course, out of a program. Don't just get them there to get them to the next thing. I think it is important to make a sale, make a living, but ultimately you should be setting up your business model to the fact that somebody can come to this one thing. And if they see you have a higher level, a higher program, et cetera, they are going to say, okay, I need that. And I'm going to willingly get into it. And you can, you know, tell them what it's about, et cetera. But if you're over pitching, if you're just constantly getting them in to sell them to the next thing, I think, again, just like Omar talked about, just like I talked about, it becomes a little bit of a turnoff, because you're like, wow, I just got to keep paying more and more and more. And eventually you're going to wonder, well, is the next thing they're trying to sell, is that going to be a pitch fest? Are they going to want me to upsell on this too? And it becomes very challenging to end up trusting that person, because you just don't know if it's going to be a pitch fest or if it's going to be actual content. So, and to your point, Omar, I mean, I think too, at the end of the day, you shouldn't be a pushover. You shouldn't allow people, you know, we're all in this, you know, of course, to make a difference, 100%, but to make a freaking living and to make a fair amount of a living. And I think I was telling you, You know, you were talking about the free classes. I just made an announcement to the group as well, because we have gotten some people to convert from the classes to come to the weeknight workouts as well and become a part of the Guzzle Fitness Club. And we're kind of growing in the community. And I've done, it'll be 85 this Saturday, 85 Saturdays. I've devoted to the community of Hollywood and individuals to come visit. We've had people that will come and they will do the class and they'll tell me, hey, I met you last year on the boardwalk, or, hey, you know, they're a client of mine. Hey, I, you know, we came last year, et cetera. And I changed my flight to come to the class. I changed my trip schedule to come to the class to be here on Saturday morning. And it's been phenomenal. It's been amazing. I've built up a name, but I think it's also important to know when it's time to pivot. And so for me, what I'm going to be doing now is we're going to do those classes on the first and third Saturday of the month. So we're essentially cutting our frequency in half, because I've managed to get clientele, managed to meet people. I've managed to find out what really works about it. And what really works about it is the fact that you get people to become part of the community. However, again, you know, there comes a point where you have to say, okay, some of the individuals who are coming to the class are not converting over. They're just utilizing the free stuff. So what I have to do is you have to cut it down. You have to decrease your level of availability for people, because people will not miss you until you're gone. Full stop. People will not, if you over deliver on things, it's phenomenal and it's great. But also as that entrepreneur, you have to realize, okay, I've got to pivot, because like for me, I'm not just going to take Saturdays and go hang out on the hub and, you know, sit on my computer all day. I'm going to be creating content. I'm going to be doing the things that I know are going to bring me more clientele and grow my business. But essentially, I think it's great to give the free stuff at first, get that exposure, pierce your way into a market. And then once you find that people are not either appreciating it anymore, or they're not converting, or they're not even willing to, quite frankly, help you carry equipment to your car, it's like, man, what's the point of even giving so much? I still want to give, but you just have to cut that back a little bit and make people realize that, listen, you know, if you're a beginner, then maybe you should stick with it and change your priorities. But after you change up your approach a little bit, you know, and you have a clientele, you have people on the back end that really care about you, you have to say, you know what, I'm going to give more back to the people who actually invest in my business, invest in the company, share the post, share the things that we're doing. And you have to do that, because if not, you're going to be stuck a slave to the people who aren't really giving back to you. And I think that's the point as an entrepreneur, where you have to say, okay, I'm not going to pitch fest everybody. I'm not going to always try and upsell everybody. However, I'm going to go to the place that's going to get me more for my business and put more into those people, invest more into those people versus the things that you want, which on the beach, it's great. It's phenomenal. It's a beach workout, whatever. But at the end of the day, you got to create that scarcity. You have to go where you're going to see that success at. You have to go where you're going to see the growth at, and not just give back to people over and over and over and over and over again, because you have to cut it off at some point and let those people know that your time is very, very valuable. And if they keep more or less taking advantage of it and not giving back, right? It's like when you go to Sam's Club, there's a reason why they say take one sample. Because you can't just keep taking sample after sample after sample after sample after sample. There's some onus on the individuals, and it's a little, it's quite selfish, to be honest with you, for you to continue to take, right? Without actually investing a little bit and giving back, because it just kind of shows that you're never really going to invest, and ultimately the company's going to lose some money. So you as the entrepreneur have to give as much as you possibly can, but know when to cut it off as well.
Well, shit, Tyler, this sounds like an economics lesson, capitalism compared to socialism. If you give people everything too much, it's expected.
Yep. Yep.
They take advantage of, dude, yep. This is mind-blowing, really.
Yep. and it's so true. And I'll tell you what, it's interesting some of the reactions you'll get when you do kind of cut off the spigot. Because people will be almost upset with you that you're doing this, and you have
to throw it on you that you're a dick.
They'll throw it on you. You like if you have the kind of money, and this is something that I have a firm stance against. If people ask for money, they ask for donations, they start to say things are getting kind of rough, and they've called me to meet with them or something like that, and they kind of give me that look of like they want me to help them or give them a handout. Love you. But I will do everything I can for you. But the minute you give that handout is the minute you're on the hook. They're going to come back next week and the next week and the next week. That's why Omar is giving me his number, said, reach out whenever you need something. And I hope I have not abused that. I try my best not to abuse that, because I know what it's like.
There's certain people, because it's like what you said, man. Dude, here's a perfect example. You're gonna laugh at this story. Guy all heated and all him and his wife. He had, well, he still has two Smoothie Kings. Has a child, lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, was right. bleeding out. Thanks. I'm like, giving me this song and dance. So I get him the break even.
Right. Okay.
He starts making, I get him profitable, but he wants to be more profitable. Now, he hasn't paid me a dime.
Yikes.
And it's like, I'm like, dude, he gets a divorce from his wife, but he's got time and the money to take, and he posts away on social media. He's with a new chick. You know, the side hustle became the main chick, and he's right. going balls out, having a great time. I'm like, you know, I can solve these problems, but when are you gonna start paying me? And the guy's like, well, I don't believe in paying for coaching. And I told people this afterwards. I don't believe in Santa Claus, but if some old fat white guy started giving me friggin' presents, ho ho ho, man, I'd be like friggin' praising jolly Saint Nick. So yeah, I cut him off. And he went completely nuclear. And it's like, dude, I saved you from drowning. I could have let you drown. And yeah, but you would think the guy'd be like, hey, I'm grateful. Instead, it's like, I can't believe you're not going to help me anymore. It's like, well, dude, I'm not a not-for-profit. And clearly, I turned things around for you. Thank you.
Right. You know, and that, again, that's such a tough thing because I think so many people get into entrepreneurship to help people. And there's a lot of advice there. There's give and give and give and give and give. And I just think that there's never advice is always wrong at a certain point, right? To give. Yes. But when you cut it off in that situation, the gentleman wasn't paying you. You got him results. He was making money. And now he's flashing it off in front of you, in front of everybody on social media. Right. And he's not giving back. And so I think ultimately, if you continue to give, guess what? Omar has now got resentment. Omar is now losing self-respect because he knows that he's not getting paid, but he's giving up his time. Meanwhile, you have other people that are paying you privately, right? Paying you about $1,000 a month for your personal consulting. And, it's worth it. It's worth it. I was, I worked with you when you were at PBD and we had an awesome consulting session. You helped Omar and I out and it works. But for this guy, he actually worked with you and got money back when he was about to go out of business. And it's unfortunate, but if you guys are listening to this podcast right now and you are struggling, there's a saying by Alex Hormozi that your ideal life, your happy life is one hard decision away. And I'm sure that you didn't want to have that conversation. And I've had to have that conversation with other people as well, being, the fitness guy and the community and everyone likes you. And because you're a nice guy, it's like, okay, this is not like a free class. Like you got to pay for this class. Like that class is free. This one's not. And so like, this is kind of embarrassing. I really don't want to do this. I kind of feel awkward because I like you, but you got to kind of pay for this, right? Because like my time is valuable. And if not,
oh, dude, your time's valuable. And all the certs, were they free?
Oh, heck no.
when you went away to learn how to be PT, was that free? Was anything for free? Is your rent for free? Is your landlord saying, hey, Guzo, I love you. You're a nice guy. You're dating a hot chick. Have at it.
Right.
And it's funny because the guy was trying to throw it back into my face. It's like, dude, it's like, are you serious? And I'm like, if you look at it as an investment, you want to make more, but you say you can't pay me. It really wasn't he couldn't afford it. He didn't want to pay me. But it's like, if you see it as an investment, you don't think I know I could 10 times your return.
Right.
And it was like crickets. It's like, well, go ahead, man. Go be a rock star. Maybe his girlfriend is. And then, dude, he would take time out, personal development. And it would out of my day to answer his stuff or his personal stuff. His ready-made family, his girlfriend didn't like him having a son. What can he do? I'm like, well, dude, You had the answer right there. You know, it's all common sense, but you're taking time away from me, man. It's like what you said. Yeah, all that stuff, you know, Zig Ziglar, Tom Ziglar's son didn't say, hey, Omar, we want to give you this cert for free. Hell, GC has never given me anything for free. You know, Ty Lopez, all these things I've always had to pay. And it's just like college, brother. You know, LSU didn't give me the free tuition. You know, mommy, Nelly Medrano had to pay for the tuition.
Right, right, right. That's true. And Nana didn't like paying that tuition. It's only gotten more and more expensive. And that's, it goes back to it, guys. If you're listening to this and you're asking yourself a question, I actually heard this the other day, and it was funny because when I mentioned to you that we're going to be kind of cutting things down a little bit, one of my clients said something so true. No one is going to care about you like you. No one knows you like you do. And so it's important for you as the entrepreneur, you as the business consultant, you as the friend or whatever, that if somebody is leeching off of you, and even worse, it's affecting your daily life. Like if you're thinking about this person and how they're leeching off you, or these individuals that are leeching off you in the morning, and they're not the person in your bed, there is a fucking problem. And you need to make that change. Because if not, guess what? That person doesn't care. They're getting the positive benefit out of the relationship. And so all you're doing, like we were talking about earlier, they're not only getting value from you, they're taking your time away from other things. So you're losing that opportunity cost of other things you could be doing, right? But on top of that, you are losing self-respect. You're losing your confidence in your mind that when something comes up, when something is bothering, you know, Omar, Tyler, whoever it is out there, you don't have the gusto. You don't have the nads to say, you know what? I'm going to put a stop to this. I'm going to stop this because it's becoming an abusive relationship. It's becoming something where you're taking advantage of me and I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying anything. So guess what? Now in the future, when that stuff comes up, you don't even think that you have the capability to say no then. So for me, I've learned that many different situations, and people will say, you know, you're young and you're just, I'm like, I don't care how old I am. But the fact is I've many people have tried to take advantage of me for the same exact thing because I'm young. And it's like, I don't care. I've had many difficult conversations with people that are older than me or people that have had different businesses or had more success than me. And I'm not afraid to do it again because I've done that. And it gets easier, but it's always hard to say that. It's always like, ah, damn it. I got to have the conversation with this guy now. Now this person's trying to take advantage of me, but you can see it. And after you do it more and more and more, it becomes easier to cut people off because you realize that once you stop, you stop the faucet, you're not going to get any more free water from me. I'm done. And I'm going to put my water over here. I'm going to water the plants that are feeding me back. You realize that the world didn't stop because now this one person is either pissed off or they talk bad about you or they left or whatever. It doesn't matter because you're over here worried about these plants, the plants that are feeding you and your family and your life. And if you don't, you're going to be stuck with this negative plant that's not growing, not feeding you, not doing anything. And you're going to, again, lose that self-respect, lose your ability, lose your confidence in yourself to say no when you want to say no. And that is such an important thing to do after a while, no matter how hard it is.
If they actually cared about you, they would understand. 100%. They wouldn't try to manipulate the situation. They wouldn't try to reverse it and say that you're the dick, you're the douche. They would have empathy, and they would pay for their services, for your services. Clearly, they pay Florida power and light. They pay the electric bill. They pay the cable bill. They pay the streaming bill. They don't seem to mind paying that. That's a service. You and I, we provide a service and pay for it. Yeah, there's free material out there.
Right. You know? Go find it.
You know, or, you know, well, I want to hire Grant Cardone. Well, yeah, go ahead at 40K for an hour. Or, you know, my boy Pat, you know, I think he's up to 50K or whatever an hour. Congratulations. Go hire them.
Right. Yeah, people like to throw that out there, you know, it should be free or whatnot. But again, that's part of the capitalist, you know, mindset. I think it is, it's a fine balance. Giving and over-delivering like you've done, you over-delivered, constantly making videos, constantly in the What If It Did Work group, constantly putting out books and you know, helping people. But at the end of the day, it you got to be real with yourself and say, you know what, you know, and that's one thing that I've had to do with myself is say, you know what, I feel like I've given too much. to the, this sector of people or this this event.
And it shouldn't have happened. Like, it shouldn't be that way, but it happens, man.
It happens. It happens. And again, no one cares like you care. No one's going to care as much about you as you will. And you just got to say, you know what? I this is a learning lesson. Everything's a learning lesson. And just move forward.
Your landlord doesn't give a fuck when he's giving you your bill. He doesn't care what's going on in Iowa. He doesn't care that you're a great guy. He's right. Not saying, well, Tyler's providing a lot of free service.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to get paid. And this has been from the beginning of time when we all had our last name was our, when there was the farmer and the, yep. there was the tailor, you had to pay.
Yep.
It's no different now. Everybody's got bills to pay. And especially if you're providing a service that pushes you towards your goal, pushes you towards, you're giving people time. That's the most valuable resource. That's a resource, the most precious resource. And you know, with me too, man, if I can cut your expenses, if I can help you scale, if I can help you grow, but if we're saving people from literally dying, drowning, but yet you don't think we should be paid, then who's going to pay our bills then? You know?
Right.
If ideal world and, you know, all our bills were paid by our fairy godmother and, you know, we were living in fantasy land. And yeah, for sure. You know, but when we go out, you know, people have their handout, you know, the register. Well, now with the tip, you know, everybody wants to tip, whether it's the laundry guy or the, you know, we have to tip upon everything with inflation. But, you know, I love you. I'm your biggest fan. And that's why I always tell you, and I told you that without pausing, right? Raise your prices.
Did.
Value yourself.
Yeah.
Disney World constantly has been raising their prices. Universal Studios, Las Vegas casinos, because they value themselves. If you can't afford it, then too fucking bad.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
Exactly. If you don't like it, then go to Joe Bob's Casino. And if you can't afford Disneyland, Disney World, or Universal Studios, there's Six Flags. And if you can't afford Six Flags, then wait for the annual Carnival Fair.
Right. Right. That's a fact, Omar. That's a fact.
Well, brother, promote. How do we find you? Because I already know how to find you. I know how to book you. I know how to do the freebies. This is your time to shine because I can talk to you for another 2-3 hours. But we both know we live in the TikTok world where anything over a certain amount of time, they're tuned out. So how do we find you? Promote.
Well, if you guys want to find me anywhere, you can just put in Guzzo Fitness and you'll find me on Facebook, Tyler Guzzo. It's easier to follow my personal page. I post a lot of content on there, a lot of reels. I've been doing a lot more like long form kind of posting. Tyler Guzzo on Facebook, Instagram. I post a ton of reels, have a ton of information about that free workout on the beach. We're doing the first and third Saturday on Hollywood Beach, right by Margaritaville. That's at Guzzo Fitness _ TikTok at Guzzo Fitness. I'm on YouTube, Tyler Guzzo. I don't post there as much, but the best places to follow me are Facebook, Tyler Guzzo, Instagram at Guzzo Fitness _. I post a lot of great content there and feel free to reach out if you guys have any health and fitness questions. I'd love to help you guys.
And Tyler does all these, a lot of these videos without a shirt. So if you're single, if you're not, if you like eye candy, Tyler has great videos. And hey, if you're queer, that's okay too. We're in the 2020s. So that's good too. They can check it out.
Whatever you're gonna check
it out. One last thing. Yeah. What words of wisdom do you have to tell the person that actually wants to wait till 2024 or waits till the perfect opportunity to take action?
I would say, ask yourself, what you would tell a friend who is in dire need of making a change. They're hurting themselves daily by continuing their behavior the way they are. Maybe it's an addiction like Omar talked about earlier. Maybe it's a spending habit. Or maybe it's something like yourself where you're overweight and every single day you're getting older, every single day you're getting closer to death, and every single day you're getting sicker because you're constantly not taking care of yourself. If your friend came to you and they said, should I wait till January? Should I wait 2 months from now to make a change with this deadly habit? Or should I make a change today or tomorrow? What would you tell them? I think you'd probably tell them tomorrow or today. So.
I love it, brother. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything. And you know, when season four hits, when 2024 hits, you know, my door is open, always open to you. You can always text me. You can always call me. I love answering anything that you have, personal, business, whatnot. I love you. And I'm the only guy that calls him by the Guzzo.
You know what? I appreciate you as well. You helped me a ton in my career and from the very beginning till even today. And I'm happy to be on here. And I'm humbled that you would ask me to come on again. And I'm ready for the next one. So let's keep rocking and rolling. And hopefully you'll get out to the beach one of these Saturdays.
I will. 100. Your 100th, I'll be there. I was there for 50. So I'm going to, for the big numbers, you know, the memorable.
Don't wait for 100, Omar. Don't wait for tomorrow.
I hear you. I work out all the time and he knows it. Thanks. I love you, brother. Take care.
Take care, brother. Thank you. What if it were? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it were? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.